Welcome to the O Collective Just Like You podcast. We are Diana, Lisi, Simona, and Eden. As third culture kids, we were never taught about intimacy, relationships, and sex. That is precisely why we created the O Collective. Listen to our podcast to learn what your parents or teachers never taught you about better sex, intimacy, relationships, and overall health.
Hi, Lily.
Hi.
Hi. So good to have you here today. And
my pleasure.
Can you give our audience a little quick introduction of yourself, where you're from, where you studied, and anything that you'd like to share?
So my name is Lily Fei, and I'm an artist, mainly painting. I was born in China, and then I moved to America when I was 13 years old. And then I studied fine arts and kind of officially started my art career there. And then 2 years ago in 2020, I moved back to Shanghai, and it was because of COVID. But I was looking forward to kind of have more knowledge and insight from my roots, and I wanted to know more about like what the Eastern culture would bring to me in my life and as well as my art practice. Yeah,
that's super cool. How would you describe yourself, your sexual self, in 3 words?
Well, I have to say the first word has to be like cosmic, and then the second one I would say it's human intelligence, and the third one, of course, empowerment.
Can I ask you why cosmic?
Well, because I see sexuality, you know, it's like always inside of us, and it's almost given by our mother nature. You know, everyone has it when it was born and somehow activated later on. So I think in a way that's connected with like spirituality and what is given, you know. That's why I would say it's cosmic.
I love that. It's like we're born to be sexual, oftentimes we're just suppressed to feel that sexuality because culture tells us to do so, but we're innately super sexual.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, well, I think it's almost, you can take a look from a different perspective, like how to see it, how to define it, and how to like articulate in a different way. Everyone can do it.
I like that you say like everyone can do it, because I think it's very hard and intimidating for most people. And you have an interesting story in terms of where you live, because you kind of went from like Asia to the Western world, and you only really came back to Asia in the last few years. Yeah. Did you feel like that was difficult in terms of coming back to Asia and not being in maybe such an open kind of community for topics like these?
Sure. Yeah. Especially like for my work, I felt that was a huge gap, like even like in life or in career. I think what I had in New York City, I was living in New York City when I was in America, because New York City is such like a mixed pot, that the race is so diverse and everyone's really open to all kinds of new information, new culture. So when I was living there, I felt like I was part of it. Although like what I believe or what I'm doing may not seem so acceptable to every single one of them. But when I moved back to China, like even I look the same as everyone here. But when I speak to them about my work, or when I try to say what's my concept behind my work, they would often have a hard time understanding it or even to form a conversation with me.
How have you embraced that, like your sexuality as a female, as an artist, as an Asian, and particularly as a Chinese person, were your parents very open? Is that why you were able to explore yourself, or was it living in the Western world kind of that brought that upon yourself?
I think I am a very sexual person, and sexually I am very open. And also like from my family background, my mom's a gynecologist, so she started the sex education quite early when I was in middle school, when I was still in China. Actually, in middle school, she came to my room one night and she lay right next to me and she's like, you know what, if you have sex, there's a thing called sex. If you have sex with someone, you need to wear a condom. And I was like 11 in China, and I had no idea like what she was talking about. I kind of just like go along with the conversation, and then she left. Well, I think my mom's always been very liberal when it comes to sex education, and how she, as well as like how she sees my practice, she's been very supportive along the way.
I absolutely and love also, that. I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and I think also my work certainly has a performative aspect on it. I'm not exhibiting this piece of work to public yet, but there's this project called Tinder Project that's associated with the porn star paintings that, you know, I would take inspiration from dating app, this form of like meeting people, or, you know, a lot of people use them to get like booty calls, to get one night stand. I was doing research on it for a while, and then I will like go experience it and then, you know, go back to the studio and start painting. It's almost like using my body as a medium to transform this kind of like sexual experience and then put it on my canvas. That's like part of my, like it was part of my process for like almost a year.
Wow. Yes. Can you give an example of like one of the research that you've done and then how you use that as a medium in, you know, the execution of your artwork?
Yes. Yeah, so when I was doing it, for a certain amount of time, I was just trying to meet people with different jobs because I thought like I can get more. I just wanted to know like what people are like, if they're categorized by their job on Tinder. So I went on Tinder and I met a lot of them, and then I would have a spreadsheet with their name and their job with their job and either we had sex or not, all the details categorized in a spreadsheet, and I would print it out. I was still in college that year. And then after a date or after we have sex, I would just go back to my studio and start painting about it, or paint about my experience, or just, you know, it's a very pure kind of transformation. And then at the end of the year, there was an exhibition, like a class exhibition. So I printed out that sheet and put it on the wall and invited all of them to come to see my work.
Oh yeah. My gosh, I love that.
What was their reaction?
Well, actually two of them during the process, because like after a while it became like a bit of a process for me, so we always use like the same tricks to push the date forward. And actually two of them realized in the middle, and they start asking me, hey, this is a project, like what are you doing with me? And so I think some of them realized along the way, but they were cool about it, because, you know, I was always really upfront, and if they asked me, I would say like, yeah, this is my research that I'm doing.
That's awesome. I have, just out of curiosity, and maybe I'm asking on Diana's behalf, what were some of the key insights that you got from Tinder? Like, was there kind of like a trend on like the people's jobs and how they are as a person and how they are in bed, since you have this gigantic spreadsheet?
I still have to say that everyone's very different, because I met like comedians, scientists, lawyers.
I have a question. In this 1 year that you did this project, how big is the spreadsheet? How many rows are there?
I think, well, that was just like 4 months, but it was probably like 10 roles, but not that much, because I still have to go back to my studio and paint. Yes.
Yeah, because I feel like that's really taxing on your body, you know, your mind and your body. When you're going through something like that, the amount of effort it goes to chatting with someone, to getting to know them, to feel comfortable, to even be intimate with them, and then process of being intimate with them, and then the post. It's just so much for you to take in. And I guess like the canvas was your outlet to express that. But I'm sure if you were doing this on a weekly basis, like it can be very emotionally draining.
Yeah, it is. And also, you know, my original theory or logic was that, you know, because in the media or in society, women are often like objectified. So the female objectification happens literally all the time, even like in advertisement or in media and in art, of course. Like we were always depicted, like women in painting, for example, we were always depicted in a way that we were there to be looked at, like a beautiful object there. So when I was thinking and painting female body, I was like, what if I choose to be objectified by men? And it's my own choice. Mm-hmm. And I want to experience the objectification, and maybe I can get inspiration out of it. And that was like the very first idea that came through my mind before I went on to this Tinder research. Because I thought, so if I put myself out there and doing this as my research, am I an object? And what if I chose to be the object? Like, what I will have, like what kind of reflection or feeling that I will have mm-hmm. being objectified by men. But at the same time, I want to like flip it over and say, hey, I'm using this actually as an inspiration for my art.
Do you think because, you know, you framed it in a way that you have chosen to be objectified, you actually yeah. feel empowered in that sense?
Yes. Yes, for sure. I think choice in this sense is very important. Like what I believe is that if you believe this is your own choice, no matter which way it goes, it should be supported in a way.
Completely agree. And talking about objectification, and then thank you for sharing of like your project that you did in college is super awesome. And you shared earlier that your mom is a gynecologist. So you kind of grew up with like a lot of openness in your household. But, you know, after coming yes. back to China, do you feel like you know, your career, your role as an artist, and especially your stance as like a female feminist artist mm. in China, do you feel like there people have misconceptions about you here in China or like even out west?
Well, I can talk about my experience coming back. So because of the content that I do is quite sexual, and when I go out and start presenting myself, I was always really straightforward about the content or the contact in art. Like sometimes, well, actually most of the time, I would just introduce myself and like, hey, I'm a painter. I paint porn stars. You know, I do so because like all the time and intentionally because I think it's funny to see people's reaction, you know, because it's like we put it like it's probably the most socially tabooed way to describe what I'm doing. And sometimes it could be quite a splash, like although it's not only contacts in my work. And I personally think my work has so much meaning and so much research involved, but I purposely chose to do and choose such a stigmatized word to present people about myself and to make a first impression, because it's to me like it's an act of humor and almost like confrontational, you know, trying to challenge them, be like, hey, this is a female artist and she says she's painting porn star and that's what she does. And, you know, I think it's a way of like myself pushing the boundaries of like such a in a such a social construct environment. And you know, and misconceptions always happen, because there's one time after dinner, my girlfriend came up to me and she said, maybe you should introduce yourself as a painter who works with nudity. Like, you know, don't talk about sexuality, or you know, don't mention the word porn star. And then because there was an introduction before the dinner, and there was like a bunch of academia, researchers, scientists, like they're serious people. And, you know, and I introduced myself saying like, I paint porn stars, and I saw everyone's reaction. Like some of them put on an awkward face and some of them just laughed out loud. You know, it was a really interesting mixed reaction. But I think the misconceptions will always happen, and I have to take it in and accept it, no matter it's positive or negative. People's reaction or their opinions on your work really depends on the social environment you're living in right now. And stigma, you know, it's highly dependent on what society, what's the culture around it. So I think when it comes to misconception, like people will, of course, they will think like, hey, you're a woman and you're painting sexualized content. You're painting porn stars. You even say that. Like I've had a feedback from a feminist. She said, why are you doing this? Why are you perpetuating womanhood? Like, what are you doing? Are you doing any good to those women by painting them masturbating or, you know, opening up their legs in your work? You know, it's very much like a mixed feedback when it comes to my work. It really depends on like how people are looking at it or what kind of environment they're in.
I think I think that the thing that you pointed, we also do as well with the O Collective, like we introduce ourselves and they ask us what we do. We just say like, oh, we sell sex toys. And the reaction from people is just so, I don't know. Yeah. You get a spectrum of feedback. Some people are like, oh, that's so cool. Some people are like, oh, okay. And then not really sure what to ask. I think yours is very in your face, right? Like you said, your friend or a feminist reached out to you because your art is very focused on the female body in a very exposed way. But I remember seeing your art for the first time. And I also was like, whoa, okay, interesting. But I brought it in with kind of the my own like kind of stereotype of like, oh, she's a Chinese artist. She paints like very what would be not really acceptable in kind of a very conservative culture. So I was like, whoa, okay, interesting. But for me, it was like, oh, this is really interesting. I want to know more. But mm-hmm. I can imagine like if you're a very conservative, traditional, even feminist, it feels like you're kind of abusing the power of the objectifying of womanhood.
Yes, for sure. Well, when it like it's like automated linked content in arts, like when you see nudity, female nudity, it would be directly associated with feminism. People, especially in like in the art world or in the art institute, they would just come up and be like, hey, so what do you think about feminism? Like, what do you want to say? Well, I was doing research on post-feminism. It's actually very much all about like sexual empowerment and how we could kind of turn around this this situation of, you know, there's still much lack of gender equality and sexual equality in this society, but without being aggressive, without being participating like a collective movement, but more of like focusing on individuality, like the self-development to actually reach the ultimate empowerment through sexuality.
Mm. Like, yes, how would you describe your work and the art that you do to others as well? Like, what is it that like inspired you to really focus on this topic? It can be from like personality or whatever, your upbringing, et cetera. But like, what is it that, you know, the type of art that you're doing and the how it inspires you to do it that way?
Well, the first piece actually started quite naturally. The first porn star painting that I started, I was just doing like, hey, I finished the work. I brought it to the class. It was like second year in college. I just presented works like, hey, this is my sexuality. And it was like a porn star masturbating, was like having phone sex. And then the professor looked at it, was like, this is your sexuality. Like, what are you talking about? What do you want to say? And back then I had a very little knowledge about like the feminism, you know, I didn't say anything. I didn't know what to respond. I was just standing there, and there's so much criticism and question that she put on me because she's a very hardcore, like probably like second wave feminist. I cried after. And then, you know, I was thinking like, what's wrong with me talking about my sexuality or just saying, hey, this is a representation of my sexuality just there, even if it's a porn star, you know, it could be my fantasy. It could be my imagination. Then actually after that, I stopped painting for like half year because I felt like there's so much going on in my head. I couldn't figure out like what's personal and what's my personal creation in relation to like the social and political aspect of the art world. So I actually stopped painting for a bit. Later on was like a realization of like, this is nothing wrong, you know, I should own it because it's coming from inside of me that I should be proud of. Like either I may use the figure of a porn star to articulate my idea, but the origin of my inspiration is just my own sexuality because I feel sexual and I want to express it on my canvas. And that's I think that part stayed very pure along the way.
You said like you stopped painting. Sorry. You said like you stopped painting. Did you feel like that was like shame? Like she indirectly gave you a little bit of shame where you felt like, oh, what is happening to me? And what did you do to like overcome that?
Well, I was doing a lot of research and trying to understand because she threw out a lot of theory-based statement to me. She gave me a lot of like historical context, be like, hey, this happened, blah, blah, blah. And so what do you think this, what your piece means at this moment? Like, what do you have to say? I think, yes, I did feel a bit shamed, but later on, I think it's more hurt because I thought it's such like a pure action from me just to paint about my sexuality. I was so excited. I was really happy about the painting. I thought it looks great. Also, I felt a bit upset and angry. I was like, why people are upset if a female artist is painting naked lady, if a female artist is painting about her sexuality? Because I was talking to other artists back then as well, and they're like, maybe you should take a look of how women are depicted in back then in history. You know, we were always voiceless in a way. So I thought, why are people uncomfortable if a woman artist tries to say something? And especially when she's trying to say something about herself that she has.
Do you think you've gone back? Like, have you thought about the questions she's asked you back in those years? Have you gone back and confronted your professor and be like, hey, you know, this is my frame of thought and this is my theory behind why I painted this? Or do you still feel like that you were just painting how you were feeling? You don't need to tell the world exactly why you painted what you painted.
Well, I actually did not go back to her. I thought it was not necessary. I thought I was just going to, you know, the moment that I decided to start working on this collection again, I felt like, okay, this is already, I'm officially over of what happened with the first piece, the first challenge that I overcome.
Are you still painting under the same theme, even right now in China? And what have inspired you to bring it back to China? And especially like China being so, like this topic is super controversial and tabooed.
Yes, I think for most of my paintings, I feel like I only want to paint naked ladies because I just don't feel the passion when I'm painting other things. I tried to work some other topics. I think I created like 3 pieces last year. But I just don't feel the motivation if I paint something else. And I think I would just keep doing it. I don't think it's about like whether people here can see it or not. I think its existence matters more. And the fact that I'm keep pushing this project forward.
Yeah, I think it's just so important. I think all of us have hit these epiphanies and that's why we're here today, or we have brands and we do what we do. That being said, you said you continue to push forward and things like that. How do you get the awareness out, or have you had challenges overcoming that? Because a lot of artists, they can just galleries and they can do shows and they just post on their, you know, all of their platforms, and there's no kind of censorship or challenges amongst that. But do you have that same issue?
Well, for getting awareness, I have to say I'm facing a lot of challenges because I do have, you know, when meeting people in the art world, we're friends, they will be just very upfront about it to me. They're like, the censorship here, your work is not going to be able to exhibit. Even if you want to show it to people, it has to be a private exhibition, right? So I'm not working, like personally, I don't like to work too hard on getting awareness or attention from the art world. I think my work is fine just sitting here. I wanted to work more on how to change the society and change how people are looking at this matter. And maybe one day it will be ready to be seen. Because for now, I think because of the other restraints, there's literally no space that would be able to exhibit my paintings here.
And to that
maybe point, I will talk to, yes?
To that point, like, how do you, like, what do you want to change in a place like China? What is that you're trying to provoke and push forward?
I think first I want to change the people, like the way they look at sexuality, because it's it has like so much negative connotation on it and such a taboo subject. But like, I think it's something that's we've all been given since birth, right? Sexuality. And when we, like, for now, when we talk about sexuality, we're not talking about biology or a natural instinct. I think sexuality among us is like transformed by our imagination. We're not having sex just because for fertile purpose. I think for us, it's more about to express like affections and feelings. And I want to push the concept of sexuality a bit more here in people's mind to make them accept, and in a way to make it evolve. Because the new generations are coming out, and I think each generation will have different definition of what sexuality is.
Do you feel like there's hope?
Yes, for sure. I think here in China, you just really have to, I don't want to say the word package, but put it in a way that they can see and accept. And then later on, they will realize, hey, this is okay. Like, this is all we have. You know, we don't have to deny or to ignore it or not talk about it. It's okay to talk about it. And I think I want to just make people talk about sexuality here. I don't want to make us all like a huge sudden change, be like, oh, all of a sudden everyone's empowered by sexuality. But I think step by step, I want people to start talking, start learning about it.
That's very cool. I think for our point of view too, is sex education is just so important, and there's such a big gap and lack of, and when there's people like you, or what we want to do is just open that topic of conversation so that people in China and women in China can feel comfortable to look out for the information that they need to, you know, better explore, you know, understand consent. I think consent is an incredibly important aspect that gets kind of hidden away, or just how to protect yourself in general, just to be healthy. That's so important. And for some reason, it's just, you feel like you're doing something dirty when you're like looking it up or checking, like going to meet the gynecologist, you know, so there's so much work to be done.
Oh, really? People think that way, that they feel dirty when looking it up? A lot of
when
them.
They or they just like feel uncomfortable, or they're kind of a little bit scared to kind of ask questions or start searching because they just don't know where to search and where to start. And like that first step, I think we've met some gynecologists here in China, and they were incredible. They were so open, they were so transparent, and they really want women in China to not be fearful of asking for help and getting help when it comes to kind of their intimate self.
Well, I think the first step must be done. And then I think after that, people will start to accept the further concept and maybe finally start changing. And the other thing I want to say is that the censorship here, like it's almost like unbreakable barrier, like above. Yeah. And then it's very hard to say certain things and to make certain statements. Yeah. And that's why like after I come back, I always felt this huge blockage when I tried to create. Like there's no problem about me painting. Like the painting comes out fine and I feel the same when I paint. But it's after I finish the work, I don't know where to present it. And I don't know how to talk to people about it. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people will just look at my painting and say, oh, they say a naked lady. They see just the very superficial layer of the work, which is just nudity and explicit sexual content.
So you feel like there's a blockage in a way that you cannot truly storytell every single piece of your work and what you're trying to convey to your audience.
And I'm not sure if there's actually a group of audience in China. I think people reach out to me, but because they see what I'm doing or what I'm creating has value. A lot of people, they would not even be interested in having a conversation about it with me, because my work, I always want to say it's a lot about the ownership of the female sexuality, that which we have to kind of reclaim it back. But back in China, I think either the society or the art world, they're all so different. Like all of a sudden, a lot of my thinking, a lot of my concepts started to become irrelevant in a way. It's kind of like, I don't know where to start to talk about this to people here. Yes.
And I would say probably quite unfortunate for artists or anyone, performance artists who have something to express. It seems like there's just the barrier that is kind of suppressing everyone in like being able to, I guess, say what they truly want to say, unless they conform to what is societally acceptable. And that just seems like what everyone is doing is just conforming, and everyone is exactly the same, which is also quite unfortunate.
Yes, and always, and I think that kind of a patronizing male attitude will always come to women in all kind of industry. Not maybe like to me, it's a bit more aggressive. It could be a bit more aggressive because I'm choosing the most traditional form of making art, which is painting, and putting that kind of content on the canvas. So it's very like a bold action in a way, just kind of like, hey, in your face. But I think that kind of thinking is embedded in so many people's mind that they would just do it unconsciously. either it's like avoiding talking about it or denying its existence or simply just say it's disgraceful. I've had experience on that as well.
I'm very curious, like if you think of, like, you know, painting from thousands of years ago, like back in,
yes,
you know, Michelangelo, you know, what he paints on cathedral ceilings, you have naked people, naked men, naked women that are like flying towards each other. How come people are okay when it comes to that versus your work? It's both naked, but, and with different ideas you're trying to convey, but it's still naked people.
I think the example you're saying has like a religion background, and their body are considered like holy, you know. And I think like throughout the timeline of how like women body are painted, a lot of them, like, first of all, there are most of them, like back then, most of them are male painters. There are not much female painters. There's literally no women artists because they were not given the proper education and they don't have the access to the resources and to even start the practice. So women are always being depicted under men's hand. I think it is almost a form of like imprisonment for a female body, because we always just there as like a voiceless, beautiful object. And, you know, more importantly, like we have became a object for others' desires, not for our own desires. And most of the time to be judged by the male spectators. And I think it's because that women started to waking up and saying that, hey, we want our rights. We want the equality, either in society or in sex. And that has caused, I think I have to start talking about it, about the previous feminism movement. Because before, when there's so much focusing on the legal rights, and people are perceiving feminists as this group of aggressive people and so-called like man haters, but actually it's not true. And we should not, and I think that's not the image that we want to have to actually gain more empowerment, I think, in a way that blocks us to reach there. Yeah, and I think it's because of that narrative that people start to be more sensitive about such content in art making, that if they see nudity, they would directly associate it with feminism, with protest, with like aggressive behaviors. But actually that is not true. It's just because how people are perceiving about what happened before. But after all, for example, after a protest, people will just go back home and be on their own. I think in a collective way that the female body has transformed, and in a way that, you know, it's depicted under man's hand or under women's hand, and they should be all equal.
Point. I feel like you had such a good point about this misunderstanding of feminism, that we're all very aggressive and fighting, but really a lot of us are not like that. We're not burning our bras. We're not trying to create violent kind of situations to be heard, but maybe that's what some people had to do in their time, in their situation. Whereas now we have more open platforms to talk about that.
Did you
feel like that, you know, we went through the China lockdown, and I think that was a very traumatizing situation for a lot of us. The reason I know you is actually from this lockdown because of this year, because you're my brother's neighbor. And when we were not even allowed to have the right to step out of our apartment buildings, you know, that's where we got closer together with our neighbors, because we were leaning on each other for information, food, you know, tips and things, and ultimately to pass the time. Did you feel like when you were in that restraint situation, that it affected your outlook in terms of, like you said, there's so much censorship, there's so much blockage. Was that a moment that changed the way you looked at yourself, your work, and why you even lived in China in that moment, and changed your outlook for you trying to express what women want to say, you know, ultimately out loud in China or in the world?
Well, I think the lockdown was an interesting period of time to everyone in Shanghai, because I also had the COVID back in New York, but there was only a curfew happening. So this kind of like hardcore lockdown was first time in my life as well. And I think that I was very lucky because the building, all my neighbors are all very nice to me. And we were always hanging out and drinking together. So it formed a small community. And actually, I was being really productive during the lockdown because there's literally nothing to do except from cleaning and cooking. I think that kind of situation almost created an enclosed environment for me to think and to create. And that was also the time that I received the kit from you guys, the sex toys. I was really happy about it. I think pleasure during that time, like trying to give myself pleasure, became really important. And it's a sort of like a form of like escape for me during the lockdown. I think everyone's having extremely hard time. It's almost like we have to ignore the fact that we are being locked down, like trying to stay sane, trying to think, okay, this is normal. Although people are telling me this is not okay, but I'm just going to pretend everything's okay. You know, it's that kind of mentality. I was so happy to see the box when I opened it, and I saw like two sex toys in there, and I immediately went charging it and I tested it, and I was super, super happy about it. Yeah, I think it's a very interesting experience that you kind of have to accept all the rules that's being posed on you. It's almost like you cannot rebel in any sense, right? Because it's literally, they just put you inside of your apartment. And I think it's, for some people, it could be a wake-up call, like telling them, hey, this is actually the environment you're living in. Do you want this? Do you think this is okay? If anything serious happens, like COVID, for example, this is what you will be going through. I think for me also, like after the lockdown, I was taking like a break and letting myself think, is this the place that I want to be? Or, you know, with so much boundaries around me. And I think after, it was, you really have to like dive inside of you and find, what do you really believe? And what do you really?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Because I think all three of us here have gone through the 60 yeah. plus days lockdown. I left China in July, 5th of July, I think. And the lockdown really was a great time to reflect, because I think, you know, before lockdown, you were kind of living in this fairy tale world in Shanghai, and everything was great. Everything was bubbly. There were challenges, but I think there were more benefits that we were getting and overlooking the challenges that we had to live through. And I think that was like a true wake up call for myself and my family. Mm. And we were just like, okay, let's pack our bags and leave. We don't know where we're going, but we will figure it out. At least we will then, you know, have more of a option. So regarding you, like you mentioned, you had some time, you left the country a little bit. And what were some of your reflections? And is China still a place you like to be and continue to push the boundaries, even when there are so many challenges and barriers ahead of you?
Yes, I think I will want to stay in China, actually, in the future. I think although there's a lot of challenges when it comes to my personal practice, my personal art practice, but I think challenges are good always. And I think it's exciting to see if there's any changing that's going to happen. And actually, you know, not, I think if you want to see a change in a big picture, it's hard. But if actually you look through the community, like all kinds of different community that's forming, it's quite interesting. And I think it's really, really exciting to see all the small changes happening versus to the Western country. I think everything's so established, like what we, you know, all the system are being built to support different communities. But here, like, it's not there yet. I think under this kind of, in this kind of society, you know, it's easier for you to feel that you are part of it, that you're actually a part of the group that's pushing it forward.
I love what you're saying. You're not just a part of people who are already in, like, talking about this topic. You are a leader in what you're trying to push forward in China. I think similar to people like ourselves, is like there aren't that many people who are in the industry who are female, who are women, who are so, I would say, like confident and able to put themselves in a very vulnerable position to be, whether it's like objectified or criticized. It's like, oh, we don't care what you're saying, but we just want to make sure we're proving our point, and hopefully people who want to listen to us or want to hear our story are willing to do so. So that's really brave of you.
Yes, I think it's important to let people see what do you think, and then you know, always be there if they want to have a conversation with you.
Yeah, like as like you know, Eden kind of mentioned is like being the leader and say, it's being brave enough to say these things. And now that you've like lived through so many experiences, knowing what you know now, what would you tell the young women that are listening today, or even women of China, or even your younger self, tips or things you would tell them?
I think I would just tell, well, especially to my young self, like, first of all, you know, is to self-accept, to realize like what's actually inside of you. And then whatever, like, however you feel about that thing, you have to accept it. And then later on, embrace it. Because well, inside of you, there's nothing wrong. And it's okay to bring it out. And it's okay to show it to people. At the first, before you do any of that, you need to self-accept and take it as it is.
That's tough to do, I think. To like, you know, when there's like so many societal pressures around you, and we always forget, even when you're in middle school, high school, there's always these barriers to the self-accept. I feel like it's a really great tip. It's just hard, very hard in practice.
Yes, for sure it is. And I just wish to the young generation here, I wish they could, you know, see sex and sexuality in a different way. You know, it's to see as a form of intelligence, to see it as the way we think. It's almost like a language that we speak.
The form of intelligence. I love that.
Yeah, I think it's for sure, because I think humankind's like probably one of the not many that would actually have an erotic sex life. Mm-hmm. A lot of, like, for example, a lot of animals would just do it for like fertile purposes. Yeah. But like it's us that we can truly experience like the ecstasy and all the whimsical moments during sex.
Absolutely. So we should all enjoy it. Enjoy the pleasure that sex can bring us versus just the act of procreation. I also have another one of the last questions for you, Lily. What's your recommendation to all women out there looking for answers or not knowing how to express their sexuality that is not misunderstood, as there's so much negative connotation that we were told when we were young? And like, how can they start embracing it bit by bit?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to stay healthy. Go do your gynecology check annually or monthly whenever you need it. Always learn to protect yourself. Use protection. It does not matter. It doesn't matter like how crazy other people your sex life is. It's all about your own pleasure, and you need to learn to protect yourself. And then, sorry, what was the question again? I kind of...
How to start embracing their sexuality, even though there's so many negative connotations.
Sure. And I think everyone, if you feel like you want to say something and you don't have the platform to express it, just start talking to people around you. Like, talk to your girlfriends and get feedback from them. If you cannot find a community yet, start forming a community. Start to have a conversation with the thing that you want to talk about.
Does your mom still, is she still a gynecologist in China or in the US?
She's in China, yes.
In Shanghai?
Oh, no, in my hometown.
Oh, where is your hometown?
In Ningbo.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So she's still working as a gynecologist?
Yeah, she's still working. Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Our listeners need support in Ningbo. Please check out Lily's mom. She's probably really busy though.
She is busy, yes.
So I guess you're also closer to your family now that you're back in China.
Yes, that's actually one of the main reason why I wanted to stay here, because I've been away since so young and always on my own, and I felt like I want to keep the connection between me and my family and my roots.
When you left when you were in your preteens, you were on your own as well, or were you living with your family then?
I was on my own. I had like a host family in New York.
Oh,
like a
random, so you're very independent. Yeah.
Yes, I am. Since very young age, I just left here on my own.
Yeah, wow. That must have been tough. Diana, do you want to do a quick wrap up on the last question, and then we can chat after?
Yeah. So thank you so much for sharing your insights, your experience and journey. I think your story is so inspirational to all women everywhere, especially as an Asian woman. Thank you for being so open about it. if people want to follow you or have more questions, what's kind of the best way to get in touch with you?
Well, they can just shoot me a message on Instagram or to my email and to my website. It's also a way. Yeah.
So we'll definitely have that in our write-ups on where to follow. But yeah, okay. Very cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you.